We've been studying the book of Daniel, and today we're going to look at Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4 centres around Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel was taken as a teenager and ended up in the service of King Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel 1 verse 1 says, "In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God." Nebuchadnezzar was instrumental in making Babylon into an incredible city in his day. It is believed that there was an artificial mountain which was known as the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. And that was believed to be erected during Nebuchadnezzar's reign. Nebuchadnezzar boasted in the city that he had created. Daniel 4 verse 30, "The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honour of my majesty?" You notice there that he was a proud man. Nebuchadnezzar's life was about himself. This great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honour of my majesty. He was a proud man. The Bible says that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Nebuchadnezzar was the most feared ruler of his day, unrivaled in military might. But God was the one that enabled Nebuchadnezzar to have such power. We find in the book of Jeremiah 43, chapter 43, verse 10, which talks about Nebuchadnezzar, Jeremiah says this, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will send and take Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will set his throne upon these stones that I have hid, and he shall spread his royal pavilion over them." And Nebuchadnezzar came to know that God raises up rulers, and actually God disposes of rulers in his life. Daniel had said this in Daniel 2 verse 21, talking of the Lord, "And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings." So Daniel knew that God set up governing authorities and that God could dispose of governing authorities. The Lord had blessed Nebuchadnezzar with a kingdom, and within that kingdom, God provided him with faithful witnesses to the Lord within his own palace walls. There was Daniel. There was Shadrach, there was Meshach, and there was Abednego. And these four young Hebrews had outstanding testimonies in the king's service. Daniel 1 verse 19, talking of Nebuchadnezzar, the Bible says, "And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king." So that's referring to Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. "And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm." In Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar even witnessed a miracle from God, in that God preserved Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Not only did Nebuchadnezzar witness a miracle of God, but he witnessed the Son of God in the fiery furnace. You'll remember how he had Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego put in the fiery furnace because they wouldn't worship his golden idol. But there was a miracle in that furnace. There was the Son of God amidst those three Hebrew young men. Daniel 3 verse 23, "And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counsellors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Nebuchadnezzar witnessed not only the miracle of the preservation of the three Hebrew boys, but he actually witnessed not only a miracle of God, but he witnessed the Son of God in the midst of that fiery furnace. Now in Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that made him afraid. As a result of the dream, Nebuchadnezzar brings all his wise men in to interpret his dream, but not one of them could interpret the dream except for Daniel. Daniel 4 verse 19. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said to Belteshazzar, Let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation, it is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven and saying, Hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field till 7 times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. But God was warning Nebuchadnezzar in his dream, which Daniel interpreted. Daniel 9 verse 47 says, Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Nebuchadnezzar, the proud king, did not heed God's warning, and therefore God brought him to a very low point in his life. Nebuchadnezzar was a proud man. You might say today Nebuchadnezzar thought he was a self-made man, but he wasn't. The Bible says to us, has a number of verses to us that speak about pride. Proverbs 16 verse 18, Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. God punished Nebuchadnezzar for his sins, but I also believe God's punishment was also an act of grace towards this arrogant king. Daniel 4:28. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honour of my majesty?" While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will." The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. Nebuchadnezzar was humbled. And when I think of Nebuchadnezzar, you know, I also think of the Apostle Paul. Paul, who is known as Saul, was born into a good family line. Saul had a great education, and like Nebuchadnezzar, in his unconverted state, he actually persecuted the people of God. But the Lord brought Paul to a helpless state. Nebuchadnezzar had seen the work of the Lord in God's people. And like Nebuchadnezzar, Saul had also seen the work of the Lord amongst God's people. The Lord put the proud Saul down into the dirt on the road to Damascus. Saul was 3 days without sight, and during those 3 days he did not eat or drink. Later on in his life, the Lord brought suffering into his life to prevent him from pride. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 7. "And lest I should be exalted," this is the Apostle Paul speaking. He's speaking as a believer here. "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." The Apostle Paul, when he was Saul, knew what it was like to be brought low. He was a proud man. And even as a Christian, God humbled him as a believer. He was caught up to the third heaven, and God didn't want him to be proud. And so God gave him a thorn. Proverbs 3 verse 11. "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, even as a father the son in whom he delights." God can humble both Christians and non-Christians in their sins of pride. 2 Peter 3 verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God had witnessed to Nebuchadnezzar on a number of occasions throughout his life. Nebuchadnezzar had seen God's people. Nebuchadnezzar had seen God's power. Nebuchadnezzar had seen God's person, the Son of God, in the fiery furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar had heard God's prophecies. God had given Nebuchadnezzar a lot of light. Yet Nebuchadnezzar rejected God's light, and therefore Nebuchadnezzar was going to feel God's punishment. As you understand the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar became like an animal in the fields for 7 years. I believe that Nebuchadnezzar's life is a lesson to the whole world. It's also a lesson to the church. God has given much light to the populations of the world. God has revealed himself to people through creation. God has revealed himself through our consciences. He's written his law upon our hearts. God has revealed himself to this world through Christ, the Son of God. God has revealed himself to the world through the Word of God. If men reject God's light, then God will humble them one day, either on earth or in eternity. Actually, everyone will bow in humility before the Lord Jesus one day. When Paul wrote to the Philippians, in Philippians 2 verse 10, he said that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Nebuchadnezzar was fortunate in that God humbled him on earth before he entered eternity. Nebuchadnezzar ended up recognizing the God who made him before his life was over. Unfortunately, there are so many people today that never humble themselves before God, and those people will face a Christless eternity. Nebuchadnezzar had a great kingdom, and he had great power and great riches. And yet all the power and all the riches of the world was useless without a relationship with the God that created him. Mark 8 verse 36, Jesus said, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Nebuchadnezzar had thought that he was a self-made man, but he was very wrong. It was actually God that gave him his kingdom and his power and his position. You know, there are many Christians that can testify to the fact that before their conversion to Christ, that God brought them low in order that they might come to know Jesus. There are many Christians that can testify that even in their Christian lives, that God has chastened them and brought them low because of their pride and sin. And numbers of Christians can look back on their lives and see that there was a time when their loving Father in heaven took disciplinary action to bring them to himself because they were rebellious sons or daughters. And God does that. God does that in believers' lives. Some believers will say, "I had this sickness, and then I came into a greater relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ." Other believers might say, "There was a death in the family, and that death really shook me up. And that death made me go back to the Word of God. That death made me examine my own life again, and I grew stronger because of the death in my family." Some believers might say, "There was an accident that I was involved in, and that accident had life-changing consequences, but God used that accident to redirect me into a greater relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ." God can discipline us as believers. God disciplined Nebuchadnezzar. God disciplined the Apostle Paul. Hebrews 12 verse 6 says, "For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If ye endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not?" Verse 9 of Hebrews 12 says, "Furthermore, we had we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence, shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. God can bring his children low when they go astray. Hebrews 12 verse 11 says, now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Could it be that God is chastening the nations of the world now because of our sins? The coronavirus and the government reactions throughout the world are bringing numbers of nations to financial and social chaos. Businesses are going broke. People are losing their jobs, their livelihoods and their freedoms. In these difficult days, will Australians turn from their sins? Will Australians humble themselves and acknowledge their Creator? Will Australians acknowledge that Jesus is the Saviour of the world? Some people are turning to Christ, but unfortunately the majority in our nation continues on in rebellion against God. Paul said, behold, now is the day of salvation. This world is heading very quickly towards the 7-year tribulation period in which the Antichrist will appear to rule the nations. No one will be able to buy or sell unless they receive a mark. Revelation 13 verse 16, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Australia is not going to avoid the tribulation period, but individuals can avoid the tribulation by placing their faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 John 5:11, and this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Nebuchadnezzar was fortunate in his life that God humbled him while he was alive for those 7 years. And then God restored his kingdom. Daniel 4 verse 34, and at the end of the days I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honoured him that lives for ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven. And among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honour and brightness returned unto me, and my counsellors and my lords sought unto me. And I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honour the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. King Nebuchadnezzar wanted the whole world to know what God had done for him. The king's life had changed. God had done a work in his life, and it appears that he wanted the good news to go out to Babylon. Previously, Nebuchadnezzar's life had all been about him and what he had thought that he had achieved. When a person becomes a Christian, their life goes from being self-centred to God-centred. When a person becomes a Christian, they want to announce what God has done in their lives as they proclaim the good news of the gospel. I wonder, have you come to the point when you've acknowledged the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour? If you've come to that point, if you know Jesus as your Saviour, are you about sharing the good news of the gospel to a dying world? John Newton, the writer of Amazing Grace, was once a slave trader. He wrote about his life before he became a Christian. Newton wrote this: "I loved sin and was unwilling to forsake it. We lived as we pleased. Business flourished." God intervened in Newton's life and he was converted to Christ. And near the end of Newton's life, he said, "My memory is nearly gone, but I remember two things, that I am a great sinner and that Christ is a great saviour." Like Nebuchadnezzar, John Newton was brought very low in his life before he came to know Christ as his saviour. What a wonderful story. This proud man, Nebuchadnezzar, was humbled by a good God. God loved Nebuchadnezzar. God put Nebuchadnezzar in the position of king of Babylon. But Nebuchadnezzar was a proud man. He thought he'd done it all himself. He'd built up his kingdom. He had those beautiful gardens. He had numbers of people serving him. But he was a proud man. And so God brought him low for those 7 years. And in those 7 years, God was working on his heart so that Nebuchadnezzar would acknowledge the God that gave him everything. Nebuchadnezzar's story is told throughout the earth in many people's lives. And God humbles non-Christians and God humbles Christians because God wants us humble so he can use us. I wonder, have you come to know that you are totally unworthy to go to heaven? Has God humbled you and enabled to see that you're a great sinner and that Christ is a great saviour? I hope that has happened to you, that God has humbled you. God wants a contrite heart. And God works through humble people to bring the good news of the gospel of a saviour that died for us. The nation of Australia needs to be humbled, as many other nations do. This nation needs to recognise that they are not a self-made people, but God has given us this great land. And God has given us this great land for his glory, not our glory, for his glory. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, the Bible says.